I received a call, I believe it was Thursday, to prepare a message today because, as you know, the loss of our pastor, his father. And I wanted to follow what he started last week, which was a prayer on salvation. And some of you were here and heard me give Mother's Day prayer, and I talked about Rebecca, my mother, and we got to hear a little bit last week. And you know, as I mentioned years ago, that not all of us have a Rebecca. Some have a Precious mother that we remember from that movie. But I wanted to keep with his theme because I think it is important. I know he was preparing to preach on deliverance, and I'm sure he will be here next week and to follow through with his deliverance message. So in preparing this message, I had an opportunity to hear radio. And it was a radio program that caught my attention. And the radio went something like this. And it was a person screaming, "Why didn't they tell me? Why didn't anyone tell me?" And of course, when you listen to the radio, you realize that this young man had found himself in heaven. And he was screaming out because of all the Christians that he knew, and not one of them had ever given him the gospel message. And so he was saying and blaming them for not having told him about salvation and about Christ and about how he could have a Christ life. Well, of course, the premise of that statement that I heard on the radio is false, because Romans chapter 1, verse 20 tells us, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In other words, this man found himself in hell, and anyone else who would argue that no one ever told him of Jesus is without excuse. You see, they chose to go to hell by rejecting the cross, by rejecting Jesus. The person who chooses not to believe in heaven or hell does not change the truth of heaven's and hell's existence. Nor can a person who chooses not to believe that Jesus is the Messiah change the fact that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. You see, my message today is about people who we read about and heard about in the Bible that were so close to heaven, but instead of following the attributes that could lead them to heaven, they decided to continue to be in darkness instead of light, and they possibly went to hell. One foggy night, a United States aircraft carrier was cruising off the coast of Newfoundland, and the junior radar operator spotted a light fastly approaching in the distance. Here's a transcript of what happened next. The radio operator worked out that a collision was likely unless the other vessel changed its course, so he sent a radio message. "U.S. aircraft carrier radio officer, please divert your course at least 7 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." The response from where the light was emitting was, "I recommend that you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." The U.S. ship. "This is the captain of the United States Navy ship. I say again, divert your course." And the reply from the light source was, "No, I say again, you divert your course." And then the ship said, "Listen, this is the USS Enterprise, the largest U.S. warship in the United States Navy. Divert your course now." And the final reply from the lighthouse light source was, "This is a lighthouse. It's your call." The ship did all it could to avoid the collision with the lighthouse. It came so close, so close. And as you know, this is not a true story, but it illustrates how close in life we can come to facing a real tragedy so close to a disaster because we refuse to listen and to obey. Now let me show you how close a person can come to being saved and yet be so far away. Let's look at King Agrippa. Paul, who was on trial, testifying before his accusers that Jesus was the suffering Messiah who had been prophesied hundreds of years ago. He says to them in Acts 26:23, he wanted to open their eyes so that he could turn them from darkness, from Satan, to the light, to God, to Christ. This was King Agrippa's opportunity to repent of his sins and to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Paul reminded those who were listening that they should already be aware of these things. They had heard the prophets before. And he says in Acts 26, 26 through 27, he says, "The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." You see, King Agrippa knew the prophets. He knew that Christ had fulfilled all of the Old Testament scriptures. He knew the truth. He knew enough to be saved. And yet, what does he say to Paul? He says, "Do you think in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" What does this say about King Agrippa? It says that you can believe the prophets. Namely, you can believe in the Bible and still be lost. King Agrippa was almost convinced, and yet he remained so far away. What was his problem? Why was he almost persuaded? You see, the problem he had is a problem that a lot of us have, and that is a wicked and rebellious heart. He did not want to give up all of his worldly possessions and the pomp and circumstances that he had as a king to submit to the only true king that we have, Jesus. Many people are almost persuaded, but they are unable to accept the Lord at this time. They want to hear more, or they want to sleep on it, etc. But what did Jesus tell people like that? He said in Mark 12, verse 34, he said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Not far. Not far means not there yet. It means that you remain in your sins. It means that you are an unrepented sinner and on your way to hell unless you change your course. And then, of course, we had Governor Felix, who had an accurate knowledge of Christ's early church and a man who believed in hell and the judgment to come. The scriptures makes it clear. He knew all of that. He understood that there was a judgment. And yet, he remained lost. He looked into salvation, but he wanted to wait for a more convenient time. So close, and yet so far away. If we discuss Felix, we have to also discuss the governor who followed him, and that was Governor Festus. He too heard the gospel message from Paul, but instead of becoming a follower of Christ as we are, he shouted at Paul and told him that all of his studying had driven him mad and that he was crazy. So close. What about Judas Iscariot? He was truly the greatest failure in history, called to be a disciple, to be one of the architects of the Church of Jesus Christ, and he gave it all away for a few silver coins. He walked, he talked, and he ate with our Lord, and yet Judas failed. Jesus described him as the son of perdition. And did you know that in essence Jesus was calling Judas the son of the underworld, the son of hell, the son of the bottomless pit? Judas could kiss the one who is the door to heaven. And yet before that very night passed, he hung himself and went into a Christless eternity. He went through the door leading into hell. Now let's talk about the Roman soldiers who wagered over Jesus' garments. How close did they come to believing in the Messiah? Above their head hung the only one who could save them. How close can you be to the truth and miss it? It's standing right before you on the cross. I'll tell you, let's look at the centurion who was guarding the crucifix site. He came even closer to believing in Jesus because Matthew verse 27, 54 tells us, and it says, when the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus, they saw the earthquake and all that happened, and they were terrified, and they exclaimed, they shouted, surely he was the Son of God. So close. It took an earthquake and the fear of death to get them to recognize the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. You can't change that. Did they ultimately believe or did they miss heaven? We don't know from this passage. But boy, if they made it, it was too close for me. Too close. Just like the centurion, we need to recognize this day that Jesus is the Christ, and to begin trusting in him as the living God. We can do that. In Mark chapter 10, we learn about a young rich man who also came close. Mark 10 verses 17 through 22 reads how this young man knelt before Jesus and asked him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Wow. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him to obey the commandments. We are told that this young man essentially told Jesus he had kept all the commandments from his youth. And verse 21 tells us, then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, the scriptures makes it clear that Jesus loved him because Jesus knew that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that while this man was indicating and saying that he had followed all of the commandments, Jesus knew otherwise, because no man can. And Jesus knew that he had not followed, but Jesus loved him. And Jesus told him what he needed to do. And yet, he couldn't because of his worldly possessions. You see, Jesus got to the heart of the matter. Apparently, this young man believed that salvation was just one more treasure that he could add to his possession. He had everything and he wanted to buy the ability to be saved. And Jesus wanted him to see that regardless of what he possessed materially, he was morally and spiritually bankrupt, and that he needed a Savior. And he needed to get the little gods out of his life, the possession that he had, so that he could worship the one true God, that he could worship Jesus. So hard for us to get rid of the little gods in our lives and realize that there is only one God, one way to be saved. Maybe there are people here today in the same predicament as this young man. From all outward appearances, you have it made. Life has been good to you. You have power, status, and wealth. But in spite of all that you have, there is still something missing in your life. You have everything you ever wanted and needed materially, but you don't have a relationship with God. We can fix that today. This young man had it all, yet with all his power, all his possessions, his privilege, he didn't know the answer to the greatest question in life, and that is, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? You can know all the right things, believe all the right things, do all the right things, but have one thing undone, that is accepting Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, and you will fail. Do everything right and don't know Christ, and you are lost. If this is you, you can accept Jesus today. You can do that now and not just be close. We also cannot forget about Pontius Pilate. He came awful close as well. Remember, Jesus plainly described his identity to Pilate and offered to teach him the truth. Yet in chapter 18 of the Gospel of John, in verse 38, we have Pilate flippantly asking our Lord, "What is truth?" And then he walked out on Jesus, turning his back on both the truth and his own salvation. You see, Pilate ignored what he knew to be true. He ignored the clear warning from his wife, we learned in Matthew 27:19. He ignored the truth because he wanted to hold on to his position with Rome and his power over the people. And he placed his position and his prosperity ahead of his salvation, ahead of his life. Remember, in aspiration, Pilate asked a question that every sinner will come under the convicting power of Holy Spirit has had to ask. What shall I do then with this Jesus who is called Christ? He wanted to know. I want to know, what are you going to do with this Jesus who is called Christ? And so I ask you the same question. What will you do with our Lord? I'm afraid there are many people like Pilate in our world today. Not too many possess the power and possession that Pilate enjoyed, but they are confronted with the same truth of who Jesus Christ is. And yet they are also too afraid to commit to a life of following Christ. Instead, they cling to their sins, to their empty lives, and their tragic eternities, just like Pilate did. How close can one be? Well, let's also read what Dr. Luke had to say about two men who were really close to Jesus when he was crucified. In fact, they were crucified alongside of Jesus. Luke chapter 23 tells us that there were two other men, both criminals, who were crucified with Jesus, one on his right and the other on his left. The Bible tells us in verse 39 that one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are being punished justly for getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Have you ever asked Jesus to remember you now that he has come into his kingdom? We should. We should do that often. Verse 43, Jesus answered him and he said, "Truly I tell you today that you will be with me in paradise." This criminal was so close, but aren't you glad that Jesus is mighty to save? That thief on the cross can now be assured of salvation. Could any man's case look more hopeless and desperate than that of the thief on the cross? If there ever was a case that seemed lost, this is it. I have jury trials in front of me, and we never know, but there are times when we have cases and we know that, wow, it's going to take a miracle to pull this one out, to win this case. And that was what we had here. We had this dying man hanging there, nailed on the cross, from which he would never come down alive. As an unrepentant sinner, this thief was destined for hell, as all of us would be if we have not been saved. But thanks be to God, this thief, only hours away from certain death, realized his hopelessness and turned to our blessed Lord. We're not promised any day, any time. We never know when we're going to go. We must turn our lives to Christ. This thief knew he was only minutes away, but some of us think we have hours, days, and years, and yet we don't know. We must always be in a position to ask Christ into our life. Was it too late for this thief, this sinner? Had the door been shut on his soul? And of course, the story makes it clear that of course not. This passage should give all of us hope. Jesus can save us as we sit here today, even now. It is never too late. It is never too late for you. If you hear my voice, you too can be saved. Ask him to come into your heart today. Do it now. Of all the people who have been saved, no one has ever received such a blessed assurance of salvation as this thief. Do you have that assurance? Or are you just close? What can we say about the other criminal who was nailed there on the cross? He too had heard Jesus praying for those who were crucifying the Lord. And as far as we know, every one of the men I mentioned died and went to hell. But every one of those men went to hell after being so close to heaven, and they are without excuse. If you believe you are a sinner and you are lost and God loves you, and gave Jesus to die on the cross for you, and in repentance and faith receive him, you will be saved. That is all that is necessary. It is my sincere hope and prayer that each and every one of us come to this conclusion, that is, that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus is our only hope. Why? Because of what Jesus taught us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. There's only one way. It is not Buddha. It is not Muhammad. No, it is only through Christ. He wants us in his heavenly family. Listen to him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Revelations makes it clear. Do you believe, or are you just close to believing? Can you see the truth? Helen Keller, probably the most recognized blind person in the world, whoever lived, was once asked, what was worse than being born blind? Helen Keller is reported to have responded, having sight but no vision. I am convinced that the vast majority of those who are unsaved have no vision of their eternal destiny. They don't know where they will go. Keller is right. There is something worse than being able to see, and that is having sight but refusing to see, having ears and refusing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not being ready yet is worse than being born blind. You can receive Christ right now. You don't have to be like some people who come in and out of our churches. They hear the gospel message. They are challenged to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus for salvation. But they leave the church just as they came in, lost. Don't leave here today if you don't know you are heavenly bound. If you don't believe today that you are on your way to heaven, we need to pray for you so you can have the blessed assurance of the thief. Would you like to respond to his invitation? Here's how. The precise words that you use to commit yourself to God are not important. He knows the intentions of your heart. And if you are unsure, let us pray. And I wrote the prayer out so that we can read it. You can close your eyes and repeat after me, however you want to do it. But I think it's so important, I wanted to take the time to write it out. Let us pray. Father, I know that I have broken your laws and my sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry, and now I want to turn away from my past sinful life towards you. Please forgive me and help me avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, and is alive, and hears my prayer. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. Please send your Holy Spirit to seal me and help me do your will. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you sincerely ask Jesus to come into your life, he has come into your life as he has promised. And you will now have that personal relationship with God. The question is simple. The question is very simple. Listen to what the jail guard asked Paul and Silas in Acts 16, verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul answered him and said, essentially, there is nothing. In other words, Jesus has done it all. There's nothing you need to do. Our Savior has done that. All man has to do is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16, 31. That was then, and that is the same thing today. Nothing has changed. If you want to be saved, you must believe in the Savior. While a person has come to Jesus by faith to be saved, a person has to do absolutely nothing to be lost. Every person who enters this world comes here that way. We learn that in Romans 3:23 and Romans 3:10. The Bible is clear and explicitly teaches that hell is also a real place to which the wicked and unbelieving are sent after death. It wasn't prepared for us. It was prepared for the fallen angels. But we'll go there if we don't know the Christ. While there is no way to adequately describe this place of torment, the Bible tells us that this is a place of eternal torment, everlasting pain, and unquenchable fire. It is a place of eternal separation from God, Mark 9 through verses 44 through 49, and it tells us that it's a lake of burning sulfur where the wicked are tormented day and night forever and ever in Revelations 20:10. It is a place where we do not want to go. Yes, hell was and is a place prepared for the devil and his fallen angels, but don't be mistaken. All of those who reject Jesus as their Savior will go there as well. For all eternity, they will remain there. This is precisely why I believe our pastor preached on salvation. And this is why I gave this message today. His inspiring salvation message presented to you last week was because he too, as our Lord, is concerned about our salvation. If we will only respond to his call, he will redeem us and deliver us from the endless eternal of torment. Almost convinced and almost persuaded is already lost. Why? Because we are under a sentence of death. Jesus tells us that, but he who does not believe is condemned already. There are many people who are in hell or Hades today that were almost persuaded. These people heard the gospel. They knew what they had to do, but they just couldn't do it. They were almost convinced. However, they died in their unforgiven state. These are the people that Jesus spoke of in Matthew's chapter 13, verses 41 through 42, when Jesus said, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let me ask you a question here. If you were to die today, do you know where you will go? Do you have the blessed assurance of going to heaven as the thief on the cross? If you're not listening to the warning from the lighthouse, change your course. Divert your course. to follow Jesus, to follow the only one that saves. If you don't know the risen Lord, I'm going to ask you to come. Come and let us pray. You need to come. Let me have the worship team come forward. And both myself and Charlie are going to stay here even after we conclude our worship today for anyone that wants to honor this call. Come. Do it now.